Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
song there from the Clark sister, Blessed and Highly Favored. We are definitely blessed and highly favored. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Sunday Morning Praise with Kel. I am your host, Kel Marvette. We are very much blessed to be here on this Sunday. And we would like to give off our message of praise to this by in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Father, let thy will be done on earth as you have it be done in heaven. Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from which we have called sin and evil. For thine is the kingdom, and all power and glory is entrusted in your hand. Once more again, Lord Father, we are bowed and praise in your name. We ask for strength as we go on this day. We ask a blessing upon all your brothers and sisters, Lord Father. We know that there are trouble on every hand, and we must pray upon it, Lord Father. Bless upon the sick and afflicted, Lord Father. Bless upon the poor, Lord Father. Bless upon those who are bound in jail, Lord Father. Bless them, Lord Father. Give them direction, Lord Father. As we go on this long journey, Lord Father, we ask your strength, Lord Father. And when we have traveled the last mile, Lord Father, give us a home somewhere in your kingdom, Lord Father. This blessing we ask in your Son, Jesus. Amen. At this time, we're going to go to Minister Bishop Paul S. Martin, going to give us a message today. I ask that you take this message in heart.
Ready for the word. The word comes from God. Are you ready for the word? Oh, the word. Yes, I'm ready for the word. It's a lamp to my feet, oh my. It's a light, it's my feet. The word of the Lord, the word of God. Oh, we're going to say it again. We're going to say it again. Are you ready for the word? For the word. Are you ready for the word? For the word. The word, it's a lamp to my feet, oh my. It's a light, it's my feet. The word of the Lord, the word of God. Now I want you to look at your neighbor straight in the eye and tell him, yes, I'm ready. Yes, I'm ready for the word of God. The word of God. Look at another neighbor and tell that neighbor, yes, I'm ready for the word of God. I need you to join hands with your neighbor. Y'all sang today. Bless y'all. Love y'all. We're thankful today, Lord, for your blessings. And as we come now, Spirit of the living God, just use me as your instrument. I move myself out of the way so that you get all the glory. You get all the praise. I don't want any of it. You deserve it. So use us now. Somebody's come burdened. Somebody's come troubled. Healing takes place right now. Deliverance takes place right now. We're in the right place at the right time to receive what you have for us. We speak it and it's already done. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. And thank God. Let's lift our Bibles all over this place. Our iPad, our iPhone, if you don't have any of those, just place your hand over your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart. And repeat after me, if I receive this word with my mind only, this word will be dead for me. But if I receive this word with the Spirit over my mind. This word will be life for me. Lord, I don't need religious form and fashion. I need life. Look at somebody and tell them, receive life. Yes, Jesus has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Today we're going to two passages of Scripture, and the first one is found in the Gospel according to John, the 8th chapter, and I will focus in on the 12th verse. The Word of God says, "Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world." Do y'all hear Jesus speaking? "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now, Jesus speaks again, and I want you to look at Matthew, the 5th chapter, and we will focus in on verse 14. Jesus speaks again, and he speaks to the church. And look what he says to the church. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." I want to talk just for a few moments today about the light conflict. Would you look at somebody and tell them, the light conflict? Thank you. Thank you, ushers. I want you to see how important this is today, because Jesus speaks, and Jesus is plain. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Then he comes back and he speaks to the church and he says, "Listen, you are the light of the world." So the question is today, will the real light please stand up? I don't know about you, just reading the passage of Scripture, there seems to be some kind of conflict. Seems to be. Just top of the surface, it looks like some kind of conflict. And when you talk about the word conflict, what you mean as it relates to conflict, there seems to be some kind of contest. Now, who's the light? Jesus, are you the light? Church, are you the light? Who's the light? When you think about this word conflict, it means competition. Is competition going on here? Jesus, you're the light, or are we the light? A clash. That's what conflict means. It means a clash. Is there a clash between what Jesus is saying to us and what he's saying about himself? There seems to be some contention. Conflict. I mean, in explaining to man, has Jesus finally hung himself on his own words? I mean, this Jesus, got to think about this Jesus now, who made all things, knows all things, keeps all things. Has he finally made a mistake and now there's a clash? I mean, you must confess there'd be a clash today if I'm standing up here saying that I am Paul Morton, born in Windsor, Ontario, Canada, to Clarence and Matilda Morton. And do not laugh at my mother's name. I'm very sensitive to that. And then somebody over here says, "No, wait a minute, I'm Paul Morton. I was born in Windsor, Ontario, Canada, to Clarence and Matilda Morton." You would say, "Wait a minute, there's a conflict here now. Both of y'all can't be born to the same parents in the same city at the same time. There's a conflict." Now, here's Jesus. He's saying, "I'm the light." And then over here, he's saying, "The church is the light." And so I needed to look at this today because it would seem that something was wrong if he's speaking this way. Now, there were those that felt as though they had already figured Jesus out, that he just constantly dealt in conflicts and he was confused and people were just, they were just trying to serve him and honor him, and he didn't deserve all of the honor because the Pharisees and the Sadducees had already said he was a phony. I mean, after all, how
could he be the Messiah and sit down at the well and talk to this prostitute? Nobody else would talk to this woman. Nobody else would be bothered with this woman. They knew her reputation. And here's Jesus. He's sitting down at the well in the heat of the day talking to this woman. They said, no, he's not the real life. There were those that had to look at Jesus, and they had some concerns about Jesus. You remember, he was on his way to Jericho, and on his way to Jericho, they were expecting him. The church was excited about Jesus coming to preach in Jericho. People were coming from everywhere to hear this man preach. So you know how the church will do. The church, I mean, they wanted to get ready for Jesus. You know, he's going to be here for a few days, and let him stay at your house on Monday, on your house on Tuesday, at your house on Tuesday. Now, we need the best cooks now. We need the best cooks. This is Jesus coming. We want to let Jesus know that we church folk know how to cook. So we want those to pick the best gumbo, the best fried chicken. We want Jesus to have it all. And so we want to make sure. Now, we can't let him stay at any carnal people's house. It's got to be the spiritual people. Now, this is Jesus. We want to show Jesus that we know how to host a guest here in Jericho. And now they're waiting for Jesus, and what happens? He walks in town, looks up in a sycamore tree, and calls down the biggest crook in town and says, "Hey, Zacchaeus, I want to come over to your house." Oh, this man, no. This Jesus cannot be real. Even John, the forerunner of Jesus, had some concerns. I mean, he laid the way. He laid the platform out for Jesus to come. He says, "Listen, I know y'all appreciate my ministry." And I mean, John, he was drawing people from everywhere. People were coming to hear John. He was anointed. I mean, he had his own followers. And people loved John. But he said, "Listen, don't get excited, because I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the one that should come. But there is one who's getting ready to come. This man is so great, I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. So you better get ready." And now Jesus arrives, and John is preaching about this Jesus, and what do? They lock him up in jail. Jesus is still out. He's still on the street. John said, "Well, now, ain't this something?" He sent some of his church members. He said, "Now, I need you to go find out from this Jesus, because I've been talking about him. I've been preaching about him. I've been prophesying about him. I told people to get ready for him. I need you to go find out, is this he that should come, or should we look for another? Because apparently he's not the Messiah, because he should be able to get me out of this. He should be able to get me out of this situation." Now, he's going to make and say that he's the light, and then turn around. You're the light. There seems to be some conflict, but I'm here to tell you there's really not a conflict, and I want to straighten this out today so that you can understand it and understand it clearly. Jesus is the light of the world. I don't want you to leave here confused. In fact, why don't you look at somebody and tell them today, Jesus is the light of the world. Not only is he the light of the world, but he's the source of light. He's the primary cause of light. He is the place of origin for light. Without him, there would be no light. In fact, you could really say in the passage that says, "In the beginning, God." I'm here to tell you, you could actually say, "In the beginning was the light, and the light was with God, and the light was God," because he is the light. There from the beginning, he is the light. But here's where the conflict comes in, because a lot of Christians get confused. I'm here to tell you, you've got to know, as Christians, we are here to illuminate his light. When we illuminate his light, he makes us to shine, because he has the power to shine in us. He has the power to shine on us. He has the power to shine through us. There is no conflict there. But there is a conflict simply because, and let me tell you what the problem is, we want to shine instead of letting Jesus shine. We want to be the star, and we are not the star. We are not the light. Jesus is the light. John let us know that he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. Too many times, instead of being a light, we want to be the light. Oh, you know some folk, don't they walk like they're the light? Act like they are the light. They know they got it going. You better recognize who I am. What would y'all do without me? But I'm here to tell you, baby, you ain't the light. You better thank God for being a light. In fact, I want to break it down a little bit more for you so that you can really understand who you are. In case some folk are confused in this area, I really want you to understand who you are. In fact, we are nothing but reflectors that give off light. Let me show you what I'm really talking about. Have you ever been behind an automobile that had reflectors? As long as your headlights were shining on the reflectors, the reflectors were lights shining just like lights. But as soon as you turn your headlights off, the reflectors cease to shine. Nothing but a red piece of glass. When you turn your headlights off, they were shining because of the headlights, not because of the reflector, but because of the headlights. The reflectors would be nothing without the headlights. That's why it's amazing to me. We start out trusting in Jesus, shining bright because he's shining on us. He's shining in us. He's shining through us. But a lot of people reach the point where I'm so good, I don't need Jesus. Oh, you know some folk like that. They, whatever they do, they really don't, they don't need Jesus. Man, when I go out to preach, I got to pray before I go out. I meditate. And I've been preaching a long time, y'all. Since 1967, I've been preaching the Word of God. But guess what? Because I'm a reflector, I'm still afraid to go out without praying first and say, Lord, I need you to be with me. I need your light to shine on me because I ain't that good. I can't preach without you. There will be no yokes that will be broken without you. I need you to shine on me. Listen, people of God, a light bulb, I don't care how good, and they got some new light bulbs out. But I don't care how good a light bulb looks, it ain't no good without a socket. Ain't no saying, I don't need you. Hey, I'll shine all by myself. Can't shine without the socket. The light bulb needs a socket. I don't care. You can buy the prettiest car in the world. I mean, you can just walk around that car. This is the prettiest thing I ever seen in my life. Woo! I love this car. But let me tell you, I don't care how pretty that car is, if that car tries to live without an engine, without a motor, I don't care how pretty it is, it's not going to fulfill its purpose. Because I don't care how pretty it is, it's got to have a motor. Some of y'all think you're cute. But I got some news for you today. Baby, you got to have a motor. I'm here to tell you, if you're going to shine, you ain't nothing but a reflector. Ain't no need, ain't about low self-esteem. In fact, you ought to be rejoicing because of the light that is shining on your reflector. In fact, you ought to be shouting today because I am a reflector with Jesus' headlights shining on me. That's good news, y'all. I don't care what you say. That is good news. So I'm here to tell you because I want to speak to somebody today because I don't want you, please, whatever you do, don't get the big head. Jesus is the light. You are a light. And you are a light because his light shines on your reflector. That's it. I don't care how many degrees you got. I don't care who your mama is or who your daddy was. The only reason that you are who you are today is because of his light. If Peter was here, Peter would tell you, I got so wrapped up, I thought I could stand up with my reflector. And I went down. I mean, he started out right. He was the only one bold enough. When Jesus spoke, out in the storm, it was dark. About 4 o'clock in the morning, it was Peter, when he heard Jesus speak, he said, Jesus, is that you? Bid me come, and I will walk on the water. The other disciples, they couldn't see the light. They couldn't see that Jesus was the light. They said, you better sit down, Peter. You done lost your mind. You got a zeal that's not according to knowledge. Peter said, y'all shut up. If Jesus tells me to come, I'm going to walk on the water. And Jesus said, come on. And Peter started walking on the water. Now, all he had to do was focus in on the light. But Peter, for a moment, got wrapped up in self. He had to look back into the fold at his disciples. Talk about, y'all see me, huh? I'm walking on the water. Well, Jesus was out there, but Peter wasn't paying no attention to Jesus now. He felt like he was walking all by himself. So I believe that's when Jesus said, wait a minute, you think you're doing this all by yourself, reflector? Let me turn my headlights off. And you know what happened when Jesus turned his headlights off. Peter went. Oh, I wish I had a witness here today. People of God, wherever his headlights are, I want to be where his headlights are, because if his headlights are not there, if his light is not there, then I'm going to walk in darkness. That's why verse 16, this is why the word is so straight. It says now, let your light so shine. You got a light now. Tell somebody you got a light. But let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. But don't you miss this. You got to realize people are going to see the light. They're going to see the light. But don't think that that's your light. And the way that I'll know that it's not your light is because what's going to happen as you shine, you're going to give glory to God. It ain't because I'm so good. It ain't because I'm so wonderful. But to God be leave the glory. I'm here to tell you, changing whatever you do, please don't even treat me like I'm the light. I ain't all of that. Guess what? I'm glad to be your reflector, Pastor. Yes, I am glad, because the only reason anybody is paying attention to me today is because his light is shining on me. And when his light is shining on me, it illuminates the power that's inside of me. I dare you to high five two people around you and say, "Hey, reflector. Hey, reflector." That's all we are. That's what you can shout about. You can praise God about it, that God has made you a reflector. I'm so glad my mama, my daddy, I'm so glad my church taught me way back then, don't you get it twisted. And that's why when I was in the Sunshine Band, when I was in the Little Sunshine Band, we had to sing a song that said, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Then my mama or somebody said, "Next verse now, next verse now. Don't leave this verse out. Jesus gave it to me." Yeah. Only reason you have that light is because Jesus gave it. It ain't because of your talent. It ain't because of your gift. Jesus gave it to me. That's why I don't understand how some people can just sit down and you can't praise them when God is being good to you. Some people don't open up their mouth when you think about the goodness of God, because the only reason I am who I am is because Jesus. Hey, I feel like preaching it. Jesus gave it to me, and I'm gonna let it shine. That's why I wanted to leave this with you, because when you know that you know, you're a reflector, and not a real light, but just sent to bear witness of the light. Because how many of you know, you can get wrapped up in the flesh and your light goes out. And it's dangerous when your light goes out. But because I'm not the light, because I'm a reflector, when my light goes out, his light shines on me, saving me from a wreck. Some of y'all know you've been saved from a wreck. It ain't because you've been so good. It ain't because you've been so wonderful. But you've been saved from a wreck, because his light has been shining on you. I just think you need to take about 30 seconds. Thank you for the light. Thank you for the light. I'd have been messed up in my darkness, but thank you for the light. You were there when I didn't know which way to turn, but your light shined on me. Now don't wait till the battle is over. I need somebody. Is there anybody that's glad about it? I just wish you would look and just point at me for a moment and just say, "Preach, reflector." Yes, it's all right. I won't get offended if you say, "Preach, reflector," because I know who's shining on me. I know it's by the grace of God I am who I am. By the grace of God, I know who I am. Shine on, conquering King. Shine on, even when I don't feel like shining. Shine on, bring me back to the light. Bring me back to the light. When I fall, bring me back to the light. No conflict. He is the light. We have been sent to bear witness of the light. I need you to take your seats for a moment, because I just want to go old school for a moment. Sometimes we forget where we come from. But I remember way back then when my mama would go to the piano. And daddy would sing, wife, sing something. And I could still hear my mama just breaking out with something like this. Shine on me. Shine on me. I know it's old. I know it's old. It still works. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Go to this verse. Some of y'all remember this verse. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come on to me. Lay down, die head. When your light gets dim, just lay your head. When your light gets dim, just lay your head upon. Hear Jesus said, my breath, I need you. Some of y'all know it. Come on, just pray. Hold me every day, on me, just let the light from the light out. Care how great you think you are, you need the light of Jesus. Today he's about to change your life. He's about to make you a new creature where old things will pass away and behold, all things will become. Oh, when you come to the altar today, you come as a reflector saying, Jesus, I just need you to shine on me. I need you to shine on me, and he's going to do it. Your life will never be the same. Secondly, you're here. You're looking for a church home. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking to you to be a part of this ministry. This is where I need to be. This is where I need to work. This is the place that I want to call home on my way to my heavenly home. We welcome you today. Thirdly, there's a backslider. You strayed away, but today, I didn't realize I was just a reflector. I thought I could make it on my own, but I need to renew my relationship with the light so that I can be what God wants me to be. Today we welcome you. I don't want you to take it lightly. This is your moment. This is your chance. Fourthly, if you're seeking the fullness of his Holy Spirit, the Lord is getting ready to give to you the desire of your heart. You're going to be able to have this power that he's going to give to you today. Then finally, you want to come to this ministry under watch care. My pastor is not in this city. My church is not in this city, but I need to be connected to the lighthouse so that the light can shine on me. Would you?
How many people are encouraged tonight?
Morning, you are tuned to the Sunday Morning Praise with Kel. It is 4 minutes after the hour.
Hallelujah! lot of emotion.
Does he know about how I can't get to sleep at night? Does he know about all this pain and tears I cry? Does he know about the things I, everything under the sun? Does he know all of my secrets we hold so tight? Does he know how hard it is to hold some time? Does he know my weakness when I feel like I want to choke somebody? Does he know all of my needs beyond my thoughts? Does he know all of my joy that I lost? He knows,
he knows
all about
our
struggle.
He
knows,
he knows,
yes, he does, all about
our
struggle.
He knows
every sorrow that's coming tomorrow.
He'll
never put more on us than
because John was dancing all around the church. The deacons ran, sat him down, he choked back up. They tried to hold his legs, his hands were gone. When they turned their hands are loose, the feet were going. It's just a light fire. It's just a light fire. Shut up in the bone. They did everything they could to stop old John from shouting. And when they couldn't finally stop him, they made up in their mind, we've got to go out to John's house, y'all. But something is wrong with him. Doesn't he know? We don't act like that in our church. Doesn't John know? We've got dignitaries in our church. We're going. We're going to John's house. Well, when they got out there, they found this old 86-year-old man. Him and an old beat-up mule plowing. Plowing in the field. They drove all of the deacons. They got out of their fine cars. They walked over to John. John looked around at their whole mule. Walked over to him and said, brethren, I know why you've come out here. You've come out here to tell me that I praise the Lord too much. You've come out here to tell me that I dance too much. One of the deacons told him, if you don't stop shouting, if you don't stop dancing, they're gonna put you out of our church. Somebody say yeah. Say yeah. Wait, yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. John said to them, why put me out? I can't hold my peace. Did you see all of that land you just drove up on? He said, God gave me all that land. But you don't want me to dance in your church. Said, look at my sons and daughters. Said, God gave me all of my children. Not one time have I been to the courthouse. Not one time have I been to the cemetery. But you don't want me to dance in your church. Then he said, look at me. I'm 86 years old. I'm still able to walk down behind that old mule. I'm still able to harvest my own crop. But you don't want me to dance in your church. Listen, Brother Deacon, if I can't shout in your church, hold my mule. I'm going to shout right here. Right now, I feel like old Shound John. I know we got some dignified folks in here, but I come to tell you, I feel like praising him. Oh, I feel like praising him. Praise him in the morning. Praise the Lord while I got a chance. Come on and praise the Lord while you have a chance. Anybody? Oh, oh, oh.
God, that was Shirley Caesar with Hold My Mule. Our next song coming up is from Juanita Bynum, and it's entitled I Don't Mind Waiting.
You know, sometimes in life, situations are going to occur where you may look to the left or the right, and you can't find any answers, and you can't find anybody to help you. But I'm reminded of the word that says, they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Come on. You got to learn how to wait.
I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. On you, Lord. I don't mind.
One of the most difficult things to do is find yourself in a storm. And while in that storm, it seems like everyone who you thought you could count on has walked away. And sometimes it seems like even God himself has forgotten about you. But in spite of that, to still be able to lift your hands and say, Lord, I trust you.
Yeah.
happened to me 10 years ago. Yeah.
I can only trust you. No one loves like you do.
But it's the thoughts in my mind. I wonder how I will make it.
I will make it through.
Oh God, but I trust you. Sometimes the pain in my life, oh God, it makes you seem so far away. Can I get a witness, somebody? But God, I trust you.
I need to know your healing.
Through the tears.
Through the tears and the pain. Through the heartache and rain.
Anybody ever had to cry late in the midnight hour? Every tear you've had to cry. Through the heartache and rain. Come on, take it up. Through the tears. Oh, that's right, through the heartache. Listen, somebody's going through something right now, and the devil's trying to convince you that there's no way you can make it out, and he says you're not going to be able to get out of this situation. But I wish somebody would make the devil out of a lie right now and lift your hands and say, God, I will trust you. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to show up, but God, I know you're going to do it. God, I know you're going to bring me out. Come on, if that's you, come on, lift your voice and say, I will. Oh, that's right. I'll trust you. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I don't know when the pains go in, but I know, God, you wouldn't put more on me than I can bear. So I trust you in spite of what I see, in spite of what I'm going through. I trust you. God, you've never left me. I know you love me. That's why I trust you. Come on, why you take it up? I have
death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we've come to tell you tonight, be blessed. In fact, just look at three people around you. Tell them, be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Bishop, I was on an airplane on my way to see you.
And the Lord began to speak to me and said, write these words as encouragement to the saints around the world.
Be blessed, my brother. Be blessed, my sister. Be blessed wherever.
Somebody tonight, all of the hurt and the pain that you've gone through, God's got an answer for you tonight. You might be hurting.
You might be crying.
You might be
crying.
You might be worrying.
You might be worrying and frustrated too.
Let me encourage you. Break, would you just take a moment out to pray for me? 'cause I'm gonna be praying for you. One God. Now, you know what's gonna happen if you pray for somebody around you. Just look at somebody, tell them, I'll pray for you. You pray for me. What's getting ready to happen?
What's God changing?
Won't it change? Won't it change? I'll pray for you. You pray for me. Come.